So this is a joint work with Anton Alexeyev and Florian Neff and Nadia Kazemi. And this project started about 1 year ago at this place, in the workshop last year. So it's my great pleasure to come back here and to have a talk about this, this work. So let me start. As an introduction, I talk about the formality of phrases. Okay, so let's recall the yesterday's talk by Richard Payne. He talked about, at the first part, he talked about the pro-unipotent completion of groups. So now, as an example, let's tie the free group of finite rank with the specified generators, n generators, gamma 1 by gamma n. Then, I assume one thing, let K be a field of characteristic view. Then we can consider pro-unipotent completion of this free group of K. And actually, it, as explained in the Haynes book, this is isomorphic to the group-like elements in the tensor algebra pH, where H is the first homology group of pi. So the organization of pi with tensor with K. Okay. And there is a problem here. Actually, there are many choices for this isomorphism.
Don't you need to complete somewhere?
Take the completion. So we view this as a complete operator taking the set of group like elements. So there are many choices here. And once we chose such an isomorphism, we get a map there. So let us call this map as Pepa. So now this is our fundamental problem. Now assume that this free group pi is the fundamental group of some surface, sigma. So this is the surface. So since it is free, so surface will have a boundary. Then the problem is find a nice paper. Here, nice means that this map theta respects the topology of the surface. So more explicitly, for example, if you have a surface, okay, let me write a simple example. So if this is our surface, then the fundamental group, if we take a base point on the boundary, then the fundamental group has a distinguished element, like, namely boundary parallel elements. So this is one of the structure we are considering, so maybe the boundary parallel elements. Or we can consider the curves on the surface, and we consider the intersections of them. So this is, by topology we mean these kind of structures. Okay. So then the very rough statement of our main theorem. If the surface is of genus 0, then any solution to the Kajiwara-Ben problem gives rise to such a nice data. This is what I'd like to explain in this talk. So, next, let me introduce the Goldman-Chirag Balanz. So this is related to the intersections of curves. So now, I keep the notation. So and I assume that sigma is oriented. And okay, also for simplicity, we assume that sigma is compact, connected, and with non-empty bounded. So this is a technical condition, but let me assume this. Then let pi hat to be the set of homotopy classes of free loops on sigma. So this is a homotopy set S1 from S1 to sigma. So in other words, this is a set of conjugacy classes in the fundamental group of pi of sigma. Then the vector space spanned by this set pi hat. So in general, this is an infinite set, and this is an infinite vector space over K, and it is known that this vector space is a rebiological. So this space has two kinds of operations, re bracket and re co-bracket. And the re bracket for this space is called the Goldman bracket. Was introduced by Goldman in 1986. So the back, this has a, this D bracket has a geometric nature. So he introduced this bracket motivated by this two kinds of things. One is so-called Wolpert's formula for the length functions on the Teichner space. The Poisson bracket on the length functions on the modular space, Teichner space. And the second thing is study of the symplectic structures of the flat bundles on over the surface, which is due to Atiyah and Port. Let me give you a brief definition of this bracket. So this is a new bracket. And it is, so So this set is the basis for this vector space. It is enough to specify the bracket for a pair of homotopy class of free loops. So, okay, here I have space, but okay. So now let me take two oriented groups alpha and beta, like this. And we assume that these two groups intersect transversely. Their intersection consists of transversal points only. So in this picture, we have two intersections. Then the V bracket of alpha and beta is defined as follows. First, okay, let us look at this intersection. Then we get a local intersection number of alpha and beta at this point. And in this case, surface is oriented like this. So in this case, we get minus 1. So we put minus 1 here. And we consider the loop defined as follows. First, we start from this intersection and going along alpha and coming back to the intersection, then change to beta and going along beta and coming back to the intersection. Then you get some closed loop. So in this case, like this, and we do the same procedure for the other intersections. And in this case, we get plus 1 from the second intersection. And as for the loop, we have a loop like this. So this is the goal model. And next, the second operation for the Lie-by algebra is the Lie-co-bracket, and in this case, it is the QRF co-bracket. He introduced this operation in the study of quantization of Goldman Lie algebra, and also. He also discussed the bi-quantization of the Lie-by algebra, but still the geometric nature of this co-bracket is mysterious. Okay. And so this is the operation like denoted by delta and like this. Okay. And let me definition of the co-bracket. So take a free loop alpha. In general, alpha will have the self intersections. In this case, it has one intersection here. And we consider the following. Look at the one intersection. And then there are two branches of alpha, like this, and this other one is like this. And we can number them by using the orientation of the surface. In this case, this will be the first branch, and this will be the second branch. So that these two pairs of tangent vectors form the oriented basis for the tangent space. And in this case, we map loop alpha by delta to the wedge product of the first branch with the second branch. And if you have more intersections, you take the sum over all intersections. And these two operations satisfy some compatibility condition. So this becomes a leaf algebra. And it is also a involutive leaf algebra. This is due to Chas. This is discovered by Chas. And this means that the bracket composed with this bar is zero. Anyway. So this is Goldman's leaf algebra. Now, what we want to do is an algebraic description of this leaf algebra. So, since we assume that sigma is compact, connected, oriented with non-empty boundary, the fundamental group of sigma is a free group of finite rank. So now let H be the first homology of sigma with coefficients in K, which is isomorphic to the first homology of pi 1 with coefficients in K. Okay. And let A to be the completed tensor algebra generated by H. So this is the tensor algebra appeared in the first part of this talk. So now let us introduce the notion of expansion, a group-like expansion to be precise. An expansion of the fundamental group of sigma is a map theta from I1 sigma to the tensor algebra A such that first of all it is multiplicative. And for any x in the fundamental group, theta of x has a constant term 0 and the linear term equal to the homology class of x, and for higher degree terms we have no control in general. And lastly, for any x, theta x, which is an element of A, is a group-like element, a group-like element of A. This is the definition of expansion. To be more correct, I should call this a group-like expansion. Okay. So I should remark that there are infinitely many such expansions. since this is a free group, to define the map, it is enough to specify its values on the generators of pi 1. And from this condition, this should be a group-like element. But if it satisfies this condition, then it's easy to extend to all elements of pi 1 sigma. So there are infinitely many expansions. But once we choose an expansion theta, then it induces a map from the group algebra of pi 1 sigma to A. And if we take the completion of this group algebra with respect to the powers of augmentation ideal, then we will get an isomorphism as a complete Hopf algebra. And since this expansion is multiplicative, this theta will induce a map from pi hat to A bar, where A is A modulo the linear subspace of A spanned by the bracket of A. A is
B. Are we in genus 0? Mm-hmm. Are we in genus 0 here? Or?
Now we don't assume any condition on the surface. But later we will assume that the surface is of genus 0.
And the surface was bounded.
The surface has boundary, yeah. Yeah, we want this group to be free, so we assume that surface has boundary. And so this map induces a map from the Goldman trifield algebra. And actually, we can take a completion of this space coming from the augmentation ideal of group algebra, and if we take such a completion, then this will be an isomorphism. So we have two kinds of operations here, the Goldman bracket and the Tarasco bracket, and since this is almost an isomorphism, we can induce two kinds of operations which will depend on the choice of theta in general, the bracket theta and the co-bracket theta. And these two operations will define a Lie algebra structure on this space A bar. So this is we can rephrase this space as the space of cyclic invariant tensors. And the goal of my talk is to understand these two operations. But actually, the first operation, the D bracket, is relatively understood. So let me explain. But now, from here, we assume that the surface is of genus 0. So now, let sigma be a surface of genus 0 with n plus 1 boundary components, where n is some natural number. So this is the situation for n equal to 3. Yes, we have four boundary components, and we take a base point here and take three generators for the fundamental group. Gamma 1, gamma 2, gamma 3, then the gamma n, like this. And let xi to be the homology class of gamma I, which is the n of h. Then, since we fixed basis for h, then algebra A is a free associative algebra generated by n generators. And we also take a completion, a degree completion here. Okay. Now, let me introduce some B algebra denoted by S del A. This is a set of derivations U on A satisfying the following two conditions. And first condition says that for any index I, there exists some gi in ui here. Ui in A such that u of x I is the bracket of x with ui. This condition is called the tangential condition. So please note that this is not the same as the condition that u is an inner derivation. For inner derivations, ui are the same for all I, but here we allow ui to be different for different i's. And the second condition is called the special derivative, a special condition. And this is this. So u sends the sum of xi's to zero. So this is the D algebra of special derivations. And I should remark that the word special derivations first appeared in the work of Ihara, and the E algebra of special derivations in the case of 3D algebras was introduced by Einstein and Kochler. So why I introduced this D algebra? Because this is connected to this D algebra structure. In fact, there is a natural map from A bar to the D algebra of special derivations. And this map is defined as follows. So first, we take element here, some monomial y1, yn bar, where y elements in xi. First, we map this to an element in A defined by form. So just we just take the cyclic symmetry to this element. So we get this element. And this is the element in A. So we rewrite it as the sum of xi ui's. And finally, we map this element to a derivation which maps xi to the bracket of xi with ui. This is a natural map from here to there. And okay, so this element obviously satisfies the first condition for special derivations. And since this element is cyclically invariant, which means that this is cyclically invariant, it's easy to see that this element this satisfies the special condition. So now, this is not a linear isomorphism. It has a kernel, but we can introduce a Lie-Bayesian structure on this space so that this map is a Lie-Algebra homomorphism. Okay. So now, what did I say? So I explained that in the case of genus zero, this space has a natural structure of a Lie algebra. So now let me introduce a special condition for expansions. So this was first explicitly defined by Guenard Machiro, but it appeared implicitly in the work of Habegger and Maschenberg, and in the work of Alexeev and Enke and Trosian. Let me explain. So an expansion theta is called special. If it satisfies the following two conditions. The first condition says that for any I, there exists some GI group-like element in A such that theta of gamma I, so gamma I is one of the generators for the fundamental group, is equal to gi times exponential of xi times gi of gi inverse. So this is the first condition. And the second condition is that theta sends the product of gamma 1 and gamma n to exponential of the sum of xi.
Is this the same as saying that the expansion descends to the fundamental group of the closed surface?
Closed surface of genus zero?
Closed surface. Oh, you have, yes.
Now this is a surface of genus zero, so.
I guess close the special component. Close only the. Okay, never mind. You know what? Never mind.
The main thing is gamma around the last component, so you might be able to explore the.
Never mind.
Let us talk later.
Okay.
Okay. So now, let me recall our previous theorem. This is a theorem proved by Kawazumi and myself and by Hashio Shirai independently. The statement is as follows. If theta is special, then this map here, theta from k pi hat to a bar is the algebra homomorphism. In other words, this bracket theta is nothing but the special the E bracket in the special derivations. So, under the special condition, we have a nice description for bracket theta. So the natural question is, how about the E co-bracket delta theta? And in general, if theta is a special expansion, delta theta can be written as some lowest degree term plus higher term. And this the lowest degree term is called the Schedler's co-bracket. And let me give a definition of this. So this sends the monomial y1 ym to be formed. So this monomial can be regarded as a cyclic tensor. So we arrange them on the circle yn. So now pick two distinct indices k and l. Then we take two tensors sitting here and sitting there. So this part starts from k plus 1 and this and ends at l minus 1, and this part, second part, starts from l and ending at k minus 1. And this map sends this monomial to the sum of 1 which 2 times the Kronecker delta of yk and yl, where k and l runs through all the pairs of all the distinct pairs.
And you compute symplectic form on this too, yk and yl.
Can
symplectic
form?
Yeah, I mean, then do you compute this symplectic form on these two points, yk and yl?
In the case of positive genus, we will have a similar formula, and in this case, we take a symplectic form, the intersection pairing.
Yes, there is a coefficient.
Yes, yes, this is a. But in this case, this is not a symplectic form. This is a surface of genus zero. So,
I see.
For your term one, do you exclude yk and yl, or
I exclude yk and yl.
But for y2, you include the yl.
Yeah, for y2, it includes yl.
So not yk. So yk is left out.
Not yk. So it
is. So this pair is sort of
unsymmetric. All the way, this is one.
I'm not sure that it's a useful comment, but like as you pointed out, in genus positive genus, there will be some symplectic pairing, and this is similar to some simple Poisson bracket, like Q of course the Fourier bracket. So it kind of, instead of symplectic bracket, it's a kind of very abstract analog of the Q of course the Fourier bracket. So that's why it looks somewhat similar, but not exactly the same.
Thank you for your comment. Okay. So I come to the final part.
Another question. What are the primitives relative to? Oh, it's a co-bracket, not a co-product. Sorry. Okay.
It's a Lie co-bracket.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, before starting the final part, I should emphasize that this higher term do depend on the choice of theta, special theta. So there are some special expansions for which the higher terms does not vanish. So it really depends on the choice of theta. So now we come to the final part. So we use the solution of a Kashiwara-Ben problem to understand the trial cobracket. So now let me recall in a slightly generalized form, the Kashiwara-Ben problem KV 0 n plus 1. So this is some generalized version. So I should say this is a Kashiwara-Ben problem of type 0 n plus 1. So obviously this is a surface and the number of bounded components. And this formulation is following the reformulation of the original problem by Alex Sieb and Gosciano. So the problem is as follows. Find some element F in the group of tangential automorphisms. Okay, I will explain soon of the tangential automorphisms of 3D algebra generated by N generators, such that F maps the sum of Xi's to the beta Campbell-Hausdorff series of X1 or Xn. This is the first equation, and the second equation is that there exists some formal power series in one variable, z, such that j of F inverse is equal to the sum of h of x I minus h of sum of x I, where what is j? Where j is some group cocycle on this group with values in A bar, some group cocycle called the Jacobian. And what is this group tangential automorphisms of B? Let us recall the definition of special derivations. In the definition of this, we assume two conditions, and the first condition is called the tangential condition. And if we only assume the first condition, we get the d-algebra of tangential derivations, and we restrict it to the derivations on the d-algebra, we get the tangential derivations of A, And we take exponential of this real algebra, we get this group, tangential automorphisms of B.
So I'd like to test my understanding. So is it true that the case n equals 2 implies all other cases by using trees somehow?
I will explain soon.
Okay.
Yeah, and yes, it is. It
okay.
is true.
Okay. And it sort of depends on the choice of a parenthetization or something. To
yeah, it is not canonical.
Okay.
Yes. So this is the state Hashimoto-Levin problem, and let me recall that what is known about this problem. If we take composition of two maps, the first one from pi to a, which sends ith generator to the exponential of xi, and the second map is f inverse. And if we call this map delta f, then this map is a special exponent. This follows from the first equation. So now this is the statement. So now let f be a tangential automorphism of B satisfying the first equation, KB1. Then f satisfies KB2, the second equation, if and only if the map delta theta is equal to delta h. So this is the statement. So this means that for theta f, delta theta will have no higher terms. And this is the if and only condition. So this shows some topological meaning of the second Kashiwara-Bevin equation. And let me give a couple of remarks and I will finish. So first of all, Gwena Mashiro proved the following. He shows that there is some special expansion coming from the Concevich integral. Then he get some special expansion such that delta theta is equal to delta r. And by work of Alexei and Trotsian, there is some relationship between the associators, which is in the definition of the Concevich integral with the Kashiwara-Bevin problem. So our two approaches are different, but maybe there are some connections between these two. So, I stop here. Thank you very much for listening.
Yes, so there is already an interpretation of the second, topological interpretation of the second Kashiwara-Bevin equation by myself and Dancho, and therefore they must be the same. So we should be looking into it. I mean, yeah, it just has to be the same thing. That's not a negative statement. That's a statement that there is a connection between two things on the topology level. Okay.
That's a good statement and a strong statement. But if I may ask, kind of they kind of, if there are two topological interpretations, why they must be the same. It would be good if they were related, but no, I mean, it would be also great if they were the same. But
because you know, God isn't wasteful.
Okay. Okay, any further questions or comments? If not, okay, so then, thank you very much.